right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grim Sentai Corner. We are back with... what is this one called? Oh, yeah, Gore Screaming Show. And by the way, guys, I had to switch a setting. I actually had text and images completely filtered. Like, all the Guro got filtered some fucking hell. I'm kind of upset about that. Because that was a big part of this, and we didn't get to see shit. So, I've unfiltered it, but now we're pretty far into the game, so... it's just a reason to go buy it from Jazz, because, you know, they're gonna have a Halloween sale, and games like this, they usually tend to go on sale during Halloween. So, yeah, let's keep going. Does the hunk of flesh he's holding with one hand, does the shivering Akane he's holding with the other even exist? Does he even exist? No, don't think about it. This isn't the time to be thinking about such things. They need to escape. Once he starts thinking, he'll just freeze up, and that would be that. Ugh! After nearly 5 minutes of running around, they find themselves back in a long corridor just like the first one. It truly feels as though they're being toyed with. He can hear Akane panting behind him. Even if she is in good shape from being on the track team, she's still a girl. Fatigue is catching up to her. Can you keep going for a little longer, Akane? I'm fine. Stop bluffing. You're gasping for breath. Kyoji starts opening each of the doors lined up in the corridor without stepping through them, only checking to see if any of them lead outside. Akane takes a deep breath and continues, her voice sounding firmer than before. I'm fine, really. Besides, resting in a time like this would just make it harder to get going again. We need to stay active. Yeah, I guess. Truly, he does feel physically spent, but more importantly, he's emotionally exhausted as well. The moment he starts thinking about how truly terrifying this situation is, Terra will freeze him solid. Ah, but what's the point of going on if it's just more of the same? If this is some kind of hallucination, no door they will open will lead out of this place. They can continue down this corridor, but it will never end. By now, they're not even sure which door they came in from. Were they even going forward, or have they been going backwards? That's right, this can't possibly be happening. Akane, do you get the feeling that even if we keep opening these doors, we won't get anywhere? I just had that same thought, but how do we get out of here then? And what do those people want with us? Kyoji has no idea. Given what those two did to Yoshiki, they might just want to kill them. They're definitely sadistic enough to do that. No point thinking about it right now. Either way, it's clear they're dangerous, so we need to get out of there. As he says this, Kyoji stops to open what feels like the 100th door. Akane, lost in thought while falling behind him, bumps into his back. Since he's holding Akane's hand, he's had to awkwardly clutch Yoshiki's arm with his spare one. His awkward grip causes it to drop to the floor. Ah! But when Kyoji hurriedly bends over to pick it up, something unusual happens. Huh? Ripping outward from Yoshiki's arm in concentric circles like a body of water hit by a droplet of rain, the polished floor begins to warp and bend, twisting and stretching, gradually revealing dirty, dusty floorboards beneath it. Yeah. Kyoji's breathing speeds up. He doesn't know why or how, but the illusion is fading. But then something else happens. Go, Gore! Yuka's voice rings out of nowhere, and then... suddenly, the black-cloaked man descends on them, barking with shrill laughter. He glides toward them from the far side of the corridor. Something blows from Gore's direction, making the hair on his back stand on end. Kyoji's instincts scream at him to run! Run! Akane, run! Kyoji reflexively picks up Yoshiki's arm and starts running. Huh? His eyes widened in shock. The moment he picked Yoshiki's arm, the glimpse of reality that revealed itself suddenly disappeared. Pointless! There's no point! Completely, utterly, absolutely useless, I say! He doesn't have time to think. Akane's voice pulls him out of his reverie and he starts running again. Kill her! Kill that woman! Eat her! Yuka's voice eggs Gore on. They're after Akane. The moment he hears this, Kyoji freezes up. You think I'll let you? As Gore bears down upon them, grinning, Kyoji rushes towards him. His mind is blank with anger. He doesn't have the first idea how to oppose this man, but he'll never let him kill Akane without a fight. Gore bends forward as he charges towards Kyoji, wagging his index finger. You're reckless! That's a no-no! Akane, just run! I'll keep him busy! Hurry! Kyoji lunges at Gore. His fingers grip his mantle, or they should have, but the moment he thinks he has Gore in his grasp, his fingers grasp the empty air. Behold my magnificent dance! Gore's large form soars to the air, gliding effortlessly over Kyoji's head, and lands in front of Akane. Akane! Akane's face stiffens. Kyoji can see from behind Gore's body that she opens a nearby door and takes cover in a nearby room. Time for a fun rabbit hunt! Gore chases after her with a cackle. Just as the door is about to close, Kyoji follows after them, but there's nothing but a small, windowless room. The walls are smooth without any windows or doors. It's the only notable feature is that it's so white and clean that it almost gleams. No one's there. Neither Gore nor Akane are anywhere to be seen. He can hear Akane scream somewhere in the distance. Her voice echoes loudly from every direction. Akane! Akane! Kyoji desperately bangs on the surrounding walls. Somewhere, there has to be a door somewhere. It's probably hidden cleverly in the concrete walls somehow, but there has to be some secret passage out of this room, or maybe a trapdoor, or an exit hidden in the ceiling. But no matter how hard he bangs on and kicks at the walls and floor, nothing budges. He can't hear Akane screaming anymore. He realizes the door through which he entered is gone, too. Kyoji stands, frozen in white light. Akane! Akane! Answer me! Akane! He shouts so loud it feels like his throat will tear. He got her involved. It's his fault this is happening to her. If he only hadn't come here, then she wouldn't have followed him. He should have gone to the police for help instead. He should have at least confided in Yamiko. Why did he even come here? This was too little too late. Yoshiki's probably long, but wait. Kyoji glances at the object he's still holding. Yoshiki's arm. When in front of the floor earlier, Kyoji caught a glimpse of reality, or at least that's what he thought. Maybe it's worth trying again. Yuka said it herself, Gore couldn't eat this arm. Maybe Yoshiki's somehow protecting them from beyond the grave. It sounds like something out of an occult documentary, but maybe it really possesses such power. After a moment's hesitation, Kyoji places Yoshiki's arm on the floor. He assumes the pendant is important to Yoshiki in some way, so he sets the limb down gently, making sure the pendant doesn't touch the floor. He waits for a moment, but nothing happens. Was he imagining what happened earlier after all? Biting his lip, he picks up Yoshiki's arm again. The pendant is coiled around the arm, but the strap comes loose, causing the stone to touch the floor. I knew it was the dining room. Kyoji's eyes widen in realization. He understands now. It's not that Yoshiki's arm contains some power, it's the pendant that's special. Yeah, of course. The ripples spread again, slowly growing larger and larger. The rippling grows into a swirl with the pendant at the very center, and a breeze begins to billow. The wind rises up into a spiral, forming a small tornado. It whips at Kyoji's hair, lashing so fiercely at his cheeks that they sting. The light grows brighter. The room, already white as it is, becomes dazzlingly white. Yeah. So bright he can't bear to look at it. Kyoji reflexively squeezes his eyes shut. A high-pitched sound reverberates inside his head louder and louder until both light and sound reach a climax, until finally he can't see or hear anything anymore. But then his vision returns. Is this... what's going on? He's back in the dining hall. Could it be that he never set foot outside this room, experiencing an illusion the entire time? As he looks around, a raspy voice behind him calls out. Huh, you made it out alive. Ah! Sitting with his back leaning against the wall is none other than Yoshiki. You're alive! I thought you were dead! Kyoji squats down to face him. Yoshiki cracks a bitter smile. Not just yet, but I don't think I'll last long. Yoshiki says this like it's not his problem, but his face is pallid. A makeshift tourniquet bites deeply into his right arm, severed just above the elbow, but the flesh has turned purple, necrotic. His clothes are soaked with blood. Kyoji can see severe injuries under the torn fabric. Kyoji didn't immediately notice her since he was so focused on Yoshiki's gruesome state, but Momone is sitting there clinging to him. Hurry! We have to run! We just need to get you to the hospital. You can... You can do it! You can save me from those demons, right? What is she on about? Kyoji furrows his brows. She probably meant Gore and Yuka when she said demons. But isn't Momone Yuka's mother? Yoshiki lets out a guttural chuckle. Sorry. I came here to avenge Sayumi, not to save you. No! No! But... Yoshiki looks at what Kyoji still holds in his arms. Momone told me that you picked it up and ran, but if you have that, there's still a chance. Yoshiki looks directly into Kyoji's eyes. The man's gaze still burns brightly. Yeah. It feels like the first time Yoshiki has called him by name, which unsettles him. Yoshiki gives him a serious look, as if he's talking to an equal. Give me that arm. Kyoji holds out the man's own severed limb. Yoshiki accepts his lost arm, which was a part of his body not long ago, with the same indifference as he might accept an offered handkerchief. But then, with a level of care in stark contrast to that indifference, he removes the pendant from the arm before handing it back to Kyoji. Take it. The stone has the power to oppose them. You've realized that by now, right? Yeah, I think. But what is this thing? And who is that Gore guy thing? I'd love to answer your questions, but we're sadly short on time. But what are you gonna do now? This lady, she's right. We can't just run away now. You might live if we get you to a hospital. Yoshiki is still lucid enough to talk this clearly. If he receives proper medical care, he would definitely survive. But Yoshiki's next words come out in the faintest of whispers. No, I can't. I lost too much blood. I can't move. Yoshiki is right. Even in the few minutes they've been talking, his face has grown visibly paler. At this point, his skin is ashen. Kyoji has seen a corpse before, his grandfather's who passed away peacefully in his bed. Yoshiki looks just as pale as his grandfather did back then. As Yoshiki said, there's no saving him anymore. Nothing can change that fact. Don't look at me like that. Yoshiki says with a sad smile, placing the pendant in Kyoji's palm and softly closing his fingers. Keep it safe. Don't lose it. Grip it and run away with Momone. This is important. Don't come near this place ever again. This mansion will be gone soon. Gone? No questions. Just hurry up and get out of here. Yoshiki gently pushes him, but he shakes his head. Akane! Akane's missing! I have to find her! Hearing this, Yoshiki furrows his brow. After thinking for a few moments, he nods. You have 5 minutes at most. Hurry! Hurry! We have to run! Before Kyoji can reply, Momone bolts away. She flings the door open and runs off. Go! Kyoji nods and reluctantly takes off after Momone. Akane! 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 He shouts as he runs behind Momone. He can't hear Akane or see any sign of her. Hey, you, Momone-san. Momone-san, do you know where Akane might be? Kyoji shouts at Momone, but the woman simply runs wildly, her hair flying in all directions. It doesn't seem like she's listening to him. When he first saw her, she was leaning on a cane like an old lady. So where is she getting that speed from now? Is it all from just panic and adrenaline? Her bad leg still drags behind her, but compared to when he first saw her, her steps are downright nimble. Damn. She's like Grandpa in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Now that he's seeing her from behind, she also looks much younger than he first thought. Akane! Akane! He keeps calling out to her, but to no avail. They eventually return to a familiar spot, the door to the parlor from when they first visited the mansion. If that's the case, the entrance hall should be right around the corner. He has no idea what Yoshiki's planning of doing, but they're running out of time. If Akane's still trapped in the mansion, he has to turn back and save her. He's about to do just that when he hears Momone cry from the entrance hall that lies just ahead.
Yuka!
Her voice is full of hatred. Yuka stands in the entrance hall with her back to the front door as if she's trying to block their escape. Facing her is Momone, who has drawn herself up to her full height, legs apart.
Yuka, kono akuma, mata atasu no jama o shiyou te iu no ne. Atasu o tsukamaete, imamade dori dorei mitai ni.
Yuka, you demon, you're still trying to get in my way? You captured me, made me into your slave. No, you treated me even worse than a slave. Momone glares at Yuka with bloodshot eyes, frothing at the mouth as she howls with fury. Well, too bad for you, but you can't do that anymore. Ha ha ha, because I know now that pendant is your weakness. Serves you right. That boy you're pining for so hard, Kyoji, he hates you. And of course he does, because you're a demon. Yuka simply looks at Momone, saying nothing. But Momone doesn't seem to care. She keeps rambling on, finally venting all her pent-up emotions. Kyoji pushes past Momone and confronts Yuka himself. Hey, where's Akane? Is she with that freak Gore? There's no time. He has to save her now and get out of here before it's too late. Looking away from Momone, Yuka gazes expressionlessly at Kyoji and parts her lips. Do you really care so much about that woman, Kyoji? His face burns up. He has a feeling she's mocking him. If you freaks do anything to Akane, I'll make you pay. I'll kill you, I swear. Yuka curls a lock of her hair around her index finger, toying with it as she seems to mull something over. Tell me, or else. Kyoji grips the pendant Yoshiki gave him tightly. He doesn't know how it will affect Yuka, but this is his only weapon here. But just as that thought crosses his mind, listen to me. You have to listen! Momone charges at Yuka. In her hands is a kitchen knife she must have picked up at some point. Momone raises the knife. Yuka doesn't so much as stir, staring once again at Momone. Her large, distinctive eyes reflect Momone as she is about to stab her. He can see the knife's pointed sink into... Hold on. He can see the knife's pointed sink into Yuka's belly as if it were happening in slow motion. The two crash into a display case by the entrance, their bodies tangled together as their heads slam against the furniture. Yuka! Kyoji doesn't know why, but he finds himself calling out her name. He hurries over to their crumpled bodies, but when he pulls Momone upright, who's lying over Yuka, he cringes. Ugh! Momone's eyes have rolled back into her eye sockets as she spasms slightly. The cabinet's door is shattered, sending sharp pieces of glass through the back of her head. Her decrepit face is curled into a grimace, letting her tongue stick out from behind her pale, quivering lips. Soon enough, she stops moving entirely. Her limp body sags into Kyoji's arms as all strength abandons her.
Baka.
stupid kid, and I was going to let you live. I forgave you. Even after everything you did to me. Yuka pushes Momone off, her voice soft. Hey, should you be getting up? It feels strange to ask Yuka such a question. After all, she put Akane and Yoshiki through so much pain. But seeing her suffer so much before his eyes has stirred his heart. Thick beads of cold sweat form on Yuka's forehead as she grimaces. The kitchen knife is embedded deep in her slender torso. Yuka grabs the knife's handle with her small hands. Hey! Moaning, she starts to pull the knife from her belly. Hey, stop it, you'll die. He calls out, trying to stop her, but Yuka doesn't heed his words. A sound like a geyser reaches his ears. A fountain of blood gushes forth before his eyes. The knife, coated in blood up to its hilt, clatters to the floor and slides all the way to the wall. Yuka presses a diminutive palm against her belly and peers up coquettishly in a shell-shocked Kyoji. You're not like her, right, Kyoji? You won't do anything stupid like Momone did, right? Dark red blood seeps from between her round, childish fingers, dripping onto the floor. Her eyes beg him. She scoots in his direction, leaving behind a trail of blood. A trickle of blood flows from her lips. You'll always be with me, Kyoji. Hey. She closes in on him. He pulls away until his back hits the door. You won't chase that awful woman. You'll stay with me, right? Yuka's eyes twinkle, her blood-stained lips part in a smile, revealing that even her teeth are red with blood. Without even meaning to, Kyoji lets out a panicky yelp. So, it's about time. Yoshiki whispers, looking up at the grandfather clock, or rather at the spot where he remembers seeing a grandfather clock. He hasn't been able to see clearly for a while now. No, his eyes can see, but what they perceive fails to properly register in his mind. His field of vision is dark and clouded. Specks of green, yellow, and black waft through it and then vanish. When it all turns back, his pathetic life will come to an end. Yoshiki slowly tries to raise his left hand. Gripped in his fingers is a small silver lighter. A guitar is engraved on the surface of the lighter. Sayumi, the only woman Yoshiki ever loved, gave it to him on one of the birthdays they spent together. His fingers tremble. The cover won't open. He needs to somehow light the flame and hold it up to his stomach. He has to light the dynamite strapped to his stomach. But his numb fingers just can't seem to manage it. Come to think of it, the bones of his one remaining arm are broken too. But he was so occupied until now that he didn't have the time to think about it. Yoshiki cracks a tired smile. No, at this point he can't even conjure up the strength to change his expression. Even if his face doesn't budge, though, he's laughing at himself inside his heart. Really, he always did screw up at the most important moments. He focuses all of his willpower on moving his fingers. If only he managed to open the cover, the lighter would ignite. Then all he needed to do was drop it onto his stomach. As long as his clothes caught, the fuse would ignite. Or so he hoped. He hoped that Kyoji and Akane made it safely out of the mansion. That boy's just like him. Trying to protect the girl he cares for the same way Yoshiki wanted to protect Sayumi. That Kyoji wouldn't have to tread the same path he did. For a moment, he thinks he hears what sounds like an uncoiling spring. Then he sees something like a red flame flash in his darkened vision. He can't tell if he's going to the same place Sayumi went to, but if nothing else, he'll get to rest. This time, Yoshiki really manages a smile, but suddenly he sees something that shouldn't be there. His field of vision, which has been fading for a while, suddenly clears up. Why? He sees a pair of slender legs and clean sneakers. This isn't Yuka. He can't find the strength to raise his head, so he only looks up with his eyes. Akane? Akane stands there, looking down at Yoshiki with an expressionless face and lifeless eyes. Even as she watches the life drain from Yoshiki, she doesn't react at all. She just stands there with a dazed look on her face. Run! He can't manage to speak. He wants to tell her to run, that Kyoji's looking for her, that she has to get out of here fast. As Yoshiki's hand trembles, the lighter flames flicker unsteadily. All he needs to do is set fire to himself. That should settle this. That's what he must do with what little life remains in him. But Akane doesn't react. She just stands there like a statue. Then something like a black mist surges up behind her. Hey there, Mr. One Foot in the Grave. Hi, 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 sir. Soon to be 6 feet under. How do you feel down there? How indeed? Gore slips by Akane and sinks to the floor in front of Yoshiki. Shaking his head like a bobblehead, he peers into the dying man's eyes, shaking his head like a carnival float. Your eyes look like you're asking for something, like you're asking the great Gore Screaming Show to fulfill your lofty request. You are so very, very lucky, because good old Gore will listen to your request. Gore snatches the lighter out of Yoshiki's hand. He keeps shaking it up and down, in and out of Yoshiki's field of vision, tossing it around like a beanbag. Do you know? I bet you do. What happened to the god who gave fire to humanity? He was bound to a mountain peak, forced to endure an eagle eating his innards forever. So in respect to that beautiful sacrificial spirit of yours, let's send you off with a big firework bang. A flame suddenly bursts to life in Gore's hand. The raging, dancing flame approaches Yoshiki's stomach. Akane simply stands next to Gore, her eyes blank. Gore's shrill, cacophonous cackling mingles with a hiss of the flame racing down the fuse.
Kyoji,
I'm sorry. A flash, and then a deafening blast. At that point, Yoshiki's consciousness reaches its end. Moments later, the blast reaches the entrance hall where Kyoji and the others are. Ah! Kyoji, who'd been cornered next to the door, was lifted into the air along with it. His body is flung away at a dizzying speed. For the briefest of moments, he feels weightless, then gravity yanks him back to the ground. He gets a glimpse of Yuka's small body sailing through the air, sees how she crashes to the ground, how she impacts a piece of debris jutting out from it, sees the blood splattering every which way. Ugh! He hits the ground. The impact knocks all the air from his lungs. He might have gone unconscious for a second. Everything goes black. When he opens his eyes again, the first thing he sees is red, burning sky. It forms a backdrop, the color of Akane's hair, upon which a column of black smoke filled with countless sparks is painted. The sparks and embers dance like a flock of fireflies in the dark cloud. It's a sight that strikes him as oddly beautiful despite the horror of this moment. The night sky has its sparkling stars and the day has the brilliant sun. So maybe black smoke and cinders fit the sunset. But as that thought crosses his dazed mind, he realizes something else. That there is something hot on his legs. Ah! Kyoji jumps up and scrambles away. The sparks he was admiring are also smoldering on top of his uniform and leaving little burn marks all over it. As he beats the cinders off his body, he gets to his feet. Despite being blown away by the blast, he miraculously doesn't seem to have broken or fractured any bones. In fact, he can still walk normally. He's definitely quite battered, but perhaps due to the adrenaline rush, he's not feeling any pain at all. None of that matters anyway. Given the situation, Kyoji can only stare, aghast. It's burning. A large and sturdy mansion built from stone is now in flames. The flames stand so high that Kyoji has to ask himself what in that dreary building could be fueling a fire so large. He's standing in what used to be the front garden, which is now littered with rubble that was blown away from the estate. The fact that none of it hit him feels like a miracle. The heat emanating from the flames burns and dries Kyoji's skin, even from the distance. The sound of a glass window being blown out somewhere by the fire raging inside brings Kyoji to his senses. Akane! Akane! He shouts as loudly as he can. Did she make it out? He wanted to be able to protect her this time. Did he fail again? Akane, can you hear me? He stumbles around, struggling to lift his feet. Akane! On that terrible day 3 years ago, he failed to protect her. So this time, he wants to believe he managed to keep her safe. Akane! He doesn't want to lose her. Answer me, Akane! Kyoji shouts as hard as he can, trying to make himself heard over the din of the collapsing building. Yeah. Kyoji's eyes widen. He's not imagining things. He definitely just heard Akane's voice. He looks around and spots a pair of feet peeking out from behind a piece of debris while missing a sneaker. Akane! Kyoji promptly hurries over to her. Between two pieces of rubble on a patch of grass that's barely visible between them, Akane lies, her body twisted. Ah-ha! Laughter spontaneously spills from his lips. He can see that she's bruised and scraped all over, but she's not seriously injured at all. He cradles her in his arms, feeling her warmth. You lucky girl, you're pretty much intact. He unconsciously voices his thoughts aloud. Thank goodness. Just thank goodness. He embraces her. Smoke and sparks whirl up into the sky, which is now turning violet with the coming night. Kyoji can still hear the sounds of crackling and the crumbled rubble behind him. But the nightmare that lasted for so long is finally over. Yoshiki's sacrifice put an end to all of this. Ugh. Alright, guys. Could this be the end? We're not sure, but we'll find out probably very soon. Like, I gotta do comics tomorrow if I feel like it, but if I don't, we'll just go right through this, because it's probably the end. Of course, for those of you who are very familiar with this novel, you know we've just really scratched the surface of it, and there are so many other paths and crazy things that can happen with it. So, it's definitely encouraged to buy the novel. If you like what you are seeing, pick up the novel and play through it and experience everything. Even the really hardcore shit that I haven't seen and freaked out the localizer. The guy who's actually localizing this for Jazz, he said there was a scene that gave him nightmares for a little bit. It's freaked him out. So you might not get to see that here. You probably won't. But you'll definitely get to see it if you pick the game up and go through everything. And make sure to do what I didn't do. By the way, guys, let me just kind of show you what I forgot to do. So this is a settings menu. It's stuck on audio config, but there's play config. Now, I had the gore filtering level on level 1, which was filtering all the images and text. So what that means is there were probably more gorier descriptions, but they filtered them, so we didn't see them. And the other one was filter image only, and then I've just switched it to no filter. You notice how you saw some brain matter? So yeah, I gave you a very neutered version of this game. Unfortunately, because I wasn't intending to. It was just completely, it was a complete accident. But, definitely go ahead and pick the game up yourself, because you'll be able to do what I didn't and play the game without the filter. So, alright, guys, this is the Grim Lord, and we will see you guys next time on Grimm's Hentai Corner with more, and maybe for the last time, Gore Screaming Show. I'm out.